So if you will please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's got a couple of different places to turn, and then we'll get on with it. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Talking to Christians. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious," which we all have, amen, "to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And that verse 5, excuse me, ought to stand out to you a little bit. It reminds me of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, one of my favorite pair of verses in the Bible. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that's my desire. I would just love to live my life in a way that pleases God every day, a living sacrifice, the right heart, the right attitude, and just everything would flow smoothly. It would go like it would. And then when I see Jesus Christ here shortly in the near future, He'd say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But something happens in there, okay? Something happens, and it's just not so smooth. It's a lot more herky-jerky than it should be. And there's only one person at fault, and that's me. So it's not anybody else but me. And so when we're dealing with this, you can see these things as lively stones, living sacrifice, or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer spiritual sacrifices, living sacrifices, amen, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're talking about spiritual sacrifices. That's the context, spiritual sacrifices. And that's the kind of life that Jesus Christ wants us to live. The life, basically, that your life is a spiritual sacrifice. Not a sacrifice like what the world would say or that the world would accept, but a spiritual sacrifice. You know, the world might commend somebody for committing suicide or if it was for a worthy cause or something. And yet Paul said, "If I do all these things and have not charity, I'm nothing. I'm nothing." And so we want to serve God in a way that's acceptable to Him and it's in line with the Bible. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and there's a number of them that say it, is where Jesus said this. He said, "If any man will save his life, he'll lose it. And if any man will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, he'll find it." Okay? And that's what you want to do in this life. What every one of us really wants to do is to find out what God has for us in this life, and to the best of our ability, do it. Bob Jones Sr. said, "He is a success in this life that finds out the will of God for his life and does it." And really, that's what you and I want. Amen? Whether we realize it or not, whether we think that way all the time or not, that's really what we want. And so that's what we're looking at here. Being a living sacrifice, I really believe, is the best way to describe what that is. "We have an altar," in verse 10, "whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." That's talking about the Old Testament sacrifice. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. New Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Amen. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And this is what we're talking about here. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." So verse 15, "By him," by Jesus Christ, "therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So giving thanks, the sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifice, that's what we're looking at, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, and that's where we'll be. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians 5. And the text is a familiar one, hopefully familiar for most of you. This is something that over the years has just stuck out to me, and I believe if it's not my life verse, maybe it's one of them. In verse 18, The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, hopefully familiar to you, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So for today's Christian, most of us, we'd be familiar with, if somebody said, you know, I go to church on Sunday, in fact, I go twice on Sunday, and I even go once during the middle of the week, you might nod your head and say, "Amen, that's good." You don't hear too many people that do that, and that's a blessing. But you know what? How much of that percentage of your week does that amount for? You know, maybe half of 1% at the most or something. And the truth is that we ought to be, we realize church is church, and it's nothing better than being around the brethren. It's encouraging. It's, it wakes us up. It helps us to be what we ought to be all week long. So it's like that would be like one of the high points in our week. But the truth is that whatever we are in here, we got to do the best of our ability to be that out there all week long. I remember, just different times, being out on the street, preaching on the street corner. You just feel so good. You're just like, you feel like you're on the mountaintop, and you feel like, man, I wish I could just be this way all the time. And it's like the Holy Spirit says, well, dummy, you can be like this all the time. But the thing is, it takes a lot of work, and it takes a real life of prayer. In fact, it takes a life that's very foreign to most of us, because the truth is, as consistent as we try to be, unfortunately, I feel like myself, I'm very inconsistent compared to what Jesus Christ deserves and what I ought to be. It says, rejoice evermore. Do you find yourself doing that? I don't. But it's something to work for, that's something to shoot for, and that's something to desire. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this is talking about a life that's foreign to what's comfortable for us. This is a life that's foreign to what we're used to. This is a life that's foreign to the status quo. And you might say, well, I've never known anybody that's like that. Well, if you were around anybody that was like that, you probably wouldn't know it. Because their private life, their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is an inward thing that they keep to themselves. They're not trying to broadcast it or show off or anything like that. They're just humbly trying to walk with the Lord, doing the best they can. And I'm sure that they themselves, they feel like great failures. And I mean, it's something that always needs work, because Jesus Christ deserves our very best. But, when you think about the Christian life, and we can associate things that we are used to in our physical life. For example, like Brother Donovan would talk about, needing to prepare messages or needing to read your Bible, and how Christians have no problem making time to eat three times a day and spending at least, 3 hours based on that, or spending time watching TV or the computer. They can make all kinds of time for that, but, could you spend 15 minutes just reading your Bible? So we can compare. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when we think about the time that we spend with man's bread or physical bread that can't really do anything for us, and yet compare that to how much time we spend with the real bread that really matters, it's kind of like a paradox. Why do we spend so much time with the one that doesn't really matter? And I think that God is not always just trying to shame us and make us feel bad, but I think He wants us to make a good, honest comparison and just see if our spiritual life is where it ought to be. And when you compare things like prayer and rejoicing compared to the Bible reading, Bible reading, you can really only legitimately do that for so much a day. I mean, if somebody is reading their Bible for 3 and 4 or 5 hours a day, they're probably leaving something very important undone. Something small maybe, but something very important undone. That wasn't meant to be our whole life. But at the same time, there's things that, most of the Christian life, you don't need to have an open Bible in front of you, amen? While you're at work, while you're driving, when you're at church, when you're talking to people. You know how people like to talk. I'm usually the one, unfortunately, that does the most talking. I'd be better off to be quiet. The Bible says, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, amen? The truth is, while somebody else is talking, you can be catching up on your prayer. You can be praying and asking God for guidance and direction, things. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. So what's that like? If reading your Bible is like eating and drinking, what would prayer and thanksgiving and rejoicing be like? That would be like breathing. It would be like breathing. Because it's something that we can do all the time. When you're breathing, you're taking in something, but you're putting something out. And when we rejoice in the Lord, and when we pray, and when we're doing things, we're putting something out that's true, but at the same time we're also receiving something from the Lord, and that's grace, and it's something that we need. And I myself would like to be more better at that, more consistent. I believe that's probably some what we need. The Bible obviously has its place, no doubt, and I hope you read your Bible every day, but practicing what's written in the Bible is just as important, if not more important. And that's something that we need to focus on too. So when I think about this, these different things in our lives, you know, with prayer and rejoicing and thanksgiving and spiritual sacrifices, I can picture in my mind, an animal or some creature. I'm sure you know what boa constrictors are. What they do is they grab a hold of that prey that they're trying to take and devour, kind of like the devil, you know. And so they'll grab a hold of it, and then they'll wrap the coils around it, and they'll just slowly tighten up on that thing. Just every time that animal will exhale, it'll just tighten a little bit more. And what it's trying to do is just get it to stop breathing, because it knows if it can get it to stop breathing, then it can do whatever it wants to with it. And I really believe that's what the devil is trying to do in our lives, is trying to take a little bit out of your prayer life each day. Just try to take a little bit of that rejoicing. Just take a little bit of that thanksgiving. Not all at once, per se, but just slowly, gradually, because it knows eventually he's going to have his way with you. And so I just want to encourage you to consider how important it is. I mean, how many times could we apply that to our life where Paul said, awake from the dead, thou that sleepest. Amen? And Christ shall give thee light. We're very, very guilty of not being a living sacrifice like we ought to be. We're not fervent. We're not stirred up. We're not zealous like we should be. Jesus Christ wants zealous service, and that's what he's after. So in our text, in verse 18, why is thanksgiving, why is that a sacrifice? Why does it call it a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, there's several different reasons why. First of all, the definition of thanksgiving is to express gratitude for a favor, to make acknowledgments to one for kindness bestowed. And there's no greater kindness bestowed than what God the Father did when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He is. If you want to picture kindness, it's Him dying on the cross for our sins. We deserve nothing. We didn't do anything good to deserve that. Before I knew Jesus as my Savior, when I was younger, before I saw myself as the real sinner that I was, I thought that Jesus died because I was good. I thought that Jesus died because, you know, He loved us, right? Well, we must have something going for us, right? No, it was a compassion. It was a kind. It was a giving, charitable love, because I didn't deserve any of that. And I'm so thankful that He did that. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. And God the Father took the name, His own name, the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and placed that upon us for no apparent reason, just because He loved us and cared about us. We're called by His name, and we can never be separated from that. And if all that Jesus Christ or God the Father did for us was just save our soul and did nothing else, like, for example, imagine we were just in Africa or India right now or in China, talking, having the same conversation, we could all agree that salvation is a wonderful thing. And we may not have much physical riches in this world, but He's given us a lot when it comes to saving us and just washing our sins away and giving us a home in heaven. And if that's all we had, if we were poor like many people in the world, if God never gave us anything beyond salvation, we would have enough to praise Jesus Christ for the rest of our life, for the rest of our existence. So just because we're Americans and we have everything, we have so much at our fingertips, we have to really watch out that we don't take God's goodness for granted and suppose that it's just a given. He's given us so much, it's just mind-boggling. The first time the word thanksgiving shows up in the Bible, the law of first mention is a law of biblical interpretation. If you want to know what God thinks about something or what He says, look the first time it shows up in the Bible. And for sake of time, we're not going to turn there, but it shows up, first of all, in Leviticus chapter 7. It has to do with an animal offering where somebody takes a valuable, clean animal that's in good shape, doesn't have deformities and problems with it, and he takes it to the priest with some other ingredients. They sacrifice it the right way, the right place at the right time. And God accepts it. So it's a sacrifice. So I think it's interesting that in the New Testament, we're supposed thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice, but in the Old Testament, thanksgiving was a sacrifice as well. And God wants us just to see that in order for it to mean something, it's got to cost us something. Now the truth is, it doesn't cost us much. In fact, the most it'll ever cost us, for the most part, is just our time. If you ever write somebody a thank you letter, and I'm sure that you do sometimes, you know what? All it does is cost you just maybe a dollar for the card and envelope and put a stamp on it. This costs you a little bit of time to say thank you. But it means something, and it's very important. In fact, some of you couldn't live with yourselves if you didn't do that. And that's good. That's the right way to look at it. So let's look at why Thanksgiving is a sacrifice. The first reason is the time of Thanksgiving. It says in our text here, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means while things are going on, if you're in trouble, if you have problems, if you're looking to God for deliverance, instead of waiting for the deliverance to give God glory, you can praise the Lord in the middle of that thing. I can picture Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew children. They said, King, we're not going to bow. And if our God delivers us, then great. And if not, we just want to let you know we're not going to bow to your images. And so they had their minds made up ahead of time. And in this Christian life, we have a number of different tests in between now and when we see Jesus Christ face to face. And he was sent as our example. In fact, when the Bible tells us, consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, it precedes that by telling us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author, okay, you guys have all started your Christian life, but you want to finish it. You want to finish it well. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, not here on earth, but in heaven, long time in the future, hopefully soon, but at the time it was a very long time in the future. He had to go through some things. It was going to take a little while, but it wasn't going to last forever. And it was worth it to go through those things for what was waiting for him in eternity. And just like he did that, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You have some crosses to endure. And the way to do it is by looking ahead to what he's got waiting for you and who you're doing it for. Endured the cross, despising the shame. There's going to be some shame, some reproach. And the world's going to look at you like, you talk like you have it all together, you're going to heaven, and look at you, your life is falling apart. The truth is, it's not our life is falling apart. God's doing things in our lives for our good, sometimes for our chastisement because he loves us, and sometimes just trying our faith to strengthen us or whatever. Regardless of whether they get it or not, we get it. That's God's hand in my life. God's doing something. God's testing me. I don't know what it is he's doing, but it's him doing something. And if that's all I have, that's enough right there, because I know he's in control. And so we can have the right attitude and the right spirit. And when they see that, they're going to be... They thought we were crazy before. Now they know for sure we're crazy. But you see, we have light that they don't have. And because of that light, we have confidence and we have boldness and we have hope, amen, that they don't know anything about. Well, just because they don't have it doesn't mean it's not real, amen. The Bible says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Well, that's their loss, amen. So, but we have a lot to look forward to. And when we think about things that way, we can go through the trials, the Jesus Christ, the crosses, the shame that we've got to go through in obedience and in faithfulness to him. We can go through those things with joy, with hope, and we can we know that it's going to be found in the praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We have a lot to look forward to. So the time of Thanksgiving is in everything. Give thanks. Not after everything. If we wait till after everything's said and done and we look back, hindsight being 20/20 like it is, we can say, wow, Lord, I see exactly what you did, and I'm so glad. And someday, every single one of us will do that. We'll say, Lord, wow, I thought I knew what you were doing, and I was right in some ways, but oh, I had no idea you were doing all of that. That's going to happen for all of us. But that doesn't really have the same any value in comparison to when he was putting us through a trial. The question is, did we pass that trial or not? Did we go through it well? Did we bring him honor and glory? And so that's what really matters. And that's why it says, in everything, give thanks. And if you have gone through anything in your lifetime, even recently, and tried to do that, you know that it is a sacrifice. It is a real sacrifice. It's easy to get mad and upset and say all kinds of stuff like we do sometimes and get bitter and angry. You'll cool down after a while, but it's not so easy to see God's hand in things and to just determine in your hearts, this is a trial. I don't know what God's doing. I can already see it. It's going to be a tough one, but by the grace of God, I'm going to go through this thing the right way, and I'm going to give God some glory. This is a trial. God put this here for a reason. I want to just acknowledge that right now, and Lord, please help me to come out of this thing the right way and better for it. It's a really good thing to recognize when God's doing things in your life. And when just the different things we go through in life, it's really important to remember. It says, in everything, give thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates of thanksgiving, into his courts of praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It's a really good idea to establish a pattern of Thanksgiving in your life. Just start off in the morning when you get on your knees to prayer. I hope you do. If you're not, you know, I'm not going to try to make fun of you or anything like that, but that's something you really need to, it's a good habit to get in, to pray. But as you do it, you may not know what to pray about. The Bible says we know not what to pray for as we ought. But you can start by just praising the Lord and giving thanks. If, you know, it's hard to get up in the morning, go to work, I know that, but if you can have a right attitude during that, when you get to work, when you get home from work, there's a lot better likelihood that you're going to be having the right spirit and the right attitude. So just good to try to form a habit of being thankful and grateful. Philippians 4, 6 or 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus." It's in. It's like while it's going on. It has no value after, not so much before, because you don't really know what's going to be happening. It's good to pray ahead of time for things and pray. It's a good preparation to help you be ready. God will give you a lot of grace. He'll give you a lot more grace that way. But it's really when you're in the middle of things, when everything seems to be falling apart, just stop what you're doing and just praise the Lord and acknowledge the fact that He's doing it. And I've heard so many, I've heard many a seasoned, mature saint of God say, and we're just going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Of course, we don't know what He's going to do, but we know He's going to do something. He's got it all taken care of. And we're just going to trust Him with whatever that is. The next thing is the things of Thanksgiving. Why is Thanksgiving a sacrifice? Because of the time of Thanksgiving. You don't get to choose. It's just all the time. You need to walk by faith all the time. The things of Thanksgiving. In everything. That means the bad things and the good things. In everything. That means all of it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be like one of these modern Christians where you think positive and think good thoughts and just everything just kind of works out the way you hope it does. That's not it at all. Whenever I hear the word pessimism and optimism today, it just makes me want to puke. because you know, the Bible says it's not positive thinking. It's biblical thinking and walking by faith and obedience to God. It's just accepting what God's putting in our life as from Him and then trying to do what He wants us to do about it. So there's some really bad things. I mean, for example, death, divorce. Sometimes you just fail the Lord in your life, and it feels terrible. You feel like you fail yourself, you fail everybody, you just fail all the time. But you know what? That's a good sign of one thing. That's a good sign that you're trying to do something. There's a lot of people in the Christianity today, they aren't even trying to do anything. And so if you're trying to do something, you're going to fail at some point in time. But you need to. The Bible says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." So don't quit. You just keep on going and dust yourself off and praise the Lord anyways. So the things of Thanksgiving. So what do you do? Do you just this is a good thing? No, it's a bad thing. But you need to acknowledge that if God didn't put it there on purpose, He allowed it there for good. And the Bible says this. It says that in Second Peter 1. Verse 4, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God says He will not put anything on you that you can't bear. He's going to provide a way to escape. But in 2 Peter, it's saying the way to escape is through God's promises. One of those promises is Romans 8:28. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." He doesn't say all things are good. He says all things work together for good. Sometimes a lot of time has got to go by before you start to see what God's doing. Sometimes some other things have to work together that kind of help it make sense. But in enough time, God will, He'll work it out for good. But, you know, it's not about playing mind games and just thinking your way through things. It's not that at all. God wants you to be open and honest. Say, "God, I did not appreciate this. I don't know why You did that." It's okay to do that. But don't be saying that years later after something happened. You need to just deal with it and be honest and open and move on. The Bible says, "Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you." And there's nothing better for us to do in a time of trouble than that. But we need to trust Him with those things. So the things of Thanksgiving, that's why it's a sacrifice, is because it involves some very negative things. It involves some very negative things. You know, people in carnal Christianity today, the gospel of prosperity and all, they will tell you to your face that God would never make anybody sick. God would never make anybody poor. God would never allow anything bad. It's like, okay, well, who's allowing all this bad stuff to happen? And you say, how about the life of Job? God, He used the devil to try him and to purify him and strengthen him and give him some more. He allowed this for a good purpose. They would say no. He didn't. God did not allow him to do that. It's because they reject the Bible. They're so stuck on this thinking that if something bad happens in your life, it does not come from God. That they'll even reject the Bible. Folks, God allows things in our life to happen for bad. Job said to his wife, what, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, not evil also? Joseph and all the stuff that happened in his life, his brethren and what they did, and him getting thrown in jail after running away from sin, all those things, he saw God's hand. He said, it wasn't you that put me here, it was God. God did this. And if we as Christians can start to see God's hand in the bad things in our life, we can have victory, because we'll go right to the root of the problem. God, it's between you and me. What's going on here? But there, at least you have something to work with. But denying and trying to ignore and escape these things, the world, especially the world's way, also drugs and alcohol and philosophy they're just the world's way of escaping, trying to escape what's going on, trying to escape God. God's sitting here trying to knock on your heart's door and get your attention. They're trying to run away. And as Christians, we can make that same mistake sometimes. And we do it by nature, by natural. Our flesh hates those things. The next thing is the temptation of thanksgiving. The Bible says in our text, in everything, give thanks. Well, why would that be a temptation? Why is it a sacrifice to give? Why is it? Well, I know plenty of people that get tired of giving. They give and give and give and give. I'm sure any pastor that does a good job, that's what he does. Paul said he rejoiced that he was able to give. And I forget the exact wording, but he said, the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. He said, I want to be useful. I want to be used by you guys. And that's what God wants us to be. And if it seems like God wants you to give, that's exactly right. That's what he wants you to do. This life is your very limited opportunity to give, to lay up treasure in heaven. Not just with financial things, but in all different kind of ways. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And God, from his perspective, he can see how wonderful it's going to be in heaven. But if we miss this opportunity in our Christian lives to give and to do something for Jesus Christ and make sacrifices, he knows that every single one of us is going to sorrow and wish that we had done more and given up more. And although we can't see that, by faith in the Word, we know we can just follow his instructions here in the Scriptures. The temptation is, I give all the time. I'd like to start getting something in return. But the truth is, that comes from a bad attitude. That comes from a lack of faith. The truth is, we're always getting stuff all the time. God's always giving us more than we could ever give. And if we would think about all the stuff he's doing in our life, for example, think about all the good things he's giving us. Well, think about all the bad things he's not giving us. If you're just conscious of those things, when a little problem comes up in your life, I just see God everywhere in my life. It's not hard for God to take care of this. But when you just get used to everything and you just take everything for granted, sometimes even as a Christian, it's hard to see God's hand anywhere. And it almost makes it feel like it would be hard for him to do anything, because you're not really aware that he's there. But we just need to always be reminding ourselves and being thankful. The Bible says that when you're full and you've inherited vineyards that you didn't plant and move into houses that you didn't build, beware lest you forget the Lord. That's really our danger as Bible-believing Christians. We've been given so much, it's easy to take it all for granted. We're just overloaded, just all this goodness. The next thing is the truth of thanksgiving. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's very important for us to see that God's got a plan and a purpose. It says in John chapter 15, it says, if there's a branch, Jesus said he's the true vine and we're the branches, and he wants us to bear fruit. And the Bible says, if you're the kind of branch that bears fruit, which I hope you are, there's something that needs to happen in your life. God's not just going to leave you alone. He's going to take his snippers and start snipping and pruning back, and he's going to be working some things out in your life and taking some good things away so that you can do more. And with the light that we have from the Scriptures, when we know that, it's easier for us to walk by faith and to be thankful. God, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I know it's for good. I know that it's so I can do more for you. I know it's so my faith can get strengthened. I know that you have a real good purpose in this. In Nahum 1:3, the Bible says that God hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And there's nothing that happens in our lives that's outside of God's control. The Bible says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you want to know God's will for your life today? I hope you do. The Bible says that you can know. And that saying, he's a success in this life, is a man that finds out what God wants him to do and does it. If you want to find out God's will in your life, It's very personal. It's very individual. He has a plan for each one of you. But I want to tell you, although it's very easy to find out what that is, it's also very easy to miss it. And all you have to do is just go your own way, do what you want to do. Just put this book away and just go by your feelings. Follow your heart, as the world says. Don't do that. The Bible spells out in black and white what God wants you to do. And it's very important. If all you do is just believe what the Bible says, do the best you can to practice it, and just trust the Lord, you'll have no problem finding out what God's plan is for your life. But it's so easy to miss it because God knows that we're tempted to do our own thing, and He'll let us do it. And many times people make the mistake of saying, if God doesn't want this sin in my life, He'll build a hedge of protection around me. He won't let me have it. God says, no, I want you to choose between me or it. It's not a joke, you know. You have to make some real big boy decisions, or it's really important. So the truth is, this is the will of God. So when you think about later on down the line, it's like, I'm gonna want to get married someday. I want to, you know, find out the job that God wants me to have. Maybe be in the ministry someday. Maybe be a missionary. I don't know. So you're gonna really want to be concerned about God's, and you know you're gonna be concerned with His will in the future. Well, if you're concerned with His will right now, then I guarantee you'll be on the right path for finding His will for you in the future. But if you take God's will for you lightly right now, while you have everything going for you and all the opportunities in the world, you just want to kind of put it behind you and forget about it for a while and then pick it up again later, there's no guarantee that you're going to do that. We are like in the Bible, likens us to stupid sheep. And as a stupid sheep, we can wander so far off, we don't even know where we are. And, you know, we don't know how to find our way back. And you think you're smart, and I do too sometimes, but we're not. So this is the will of God. So pay attention to God's revealed will, and he'll be careful to show you who the right person is to marry someday in the future. Don't you want Him to be careful for you? He does care. He loves you very much, but He's also a jealous God, and He loves you enough to chasten you and allow you to get in some real bad situations so that you learn to obey Him and trust Him. He's more interested in quality than quantity, okay? He wants you to have a good life, and He wants everything to go well and everything like that, but He loves you too much to let it go smoothly for you when you're forgetting about what's really important. And that's the last thing, the treasure of thanksgiving. It says here in our text, it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Imagine that Jesus Christ would be concerned with us. Imagine that there was a time in my life where I was sure that I was beyond His care, beyond His reach, because of the things that I'd done. Or when I finally started to see myself as a sinner, I thought, why would He care about me? Well, amen. Why would He care about any of us? It's just, he's not like us, amen? That if he was like me, He wouldn't care anything about me. Well, I'm so thankful that He's nothing like me. The Bible says, though, that we love Him because He first loved us. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And so you take a simple thing like Thanksgiving here, the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, you say, what is that for us? That should be very easy to give up. Well, why is it so hard? Why do so many Christians walk around with an upset spirit? They're ungrateful. They got a chip on their shoulder. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself sometimes. But why is that? When it's so easy to be otherwise? Well, we don't love the Lord like we should, honestly. Why does it feel so difficult sometimes? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, didn't He? Why does it feel so heavy? Why does it feel so impossible? Because we don't love the Lord like we should. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're all guilty of that. Sometimes we're proud and we don't know it. We don't realize. We think we're humble, but we're not. And we just need the Lord to show us. We need the Lord's grace to help us to see how good He is. And that's really where our heart ought to be. But the treasure of thanksgiving is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about the little things that you do here in this life, and you think about what's waiting for us in heaven, it just doesn't make sense. Thank God it's a free gift. Thank God it's not a reward. Heaven is not a reward for being a good person. But you know what? There are some rewards waiting for God's children in heaven. But it's only waiting for those that are obedient. Jesus Christ is not going to make it like you were obedient when you weren't. He's not going to. He'll justify you by faith. But you know, when it comes to your service, what matters is what you did and why did you do it. Did you love Jesus Christ? Did you put Him first? It's not Bible, but it's biblical. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, it behooves you to live like it. And the best way I can advise you to is pay attention to the little things. It's the little things. Christians want to look at a big thing, and we have a strength, or we're good about going out on the street corner and street preaching and stuff. So we want to say, well, I'm better than 99% of Christians when it comes to this. Okay, so what? What about the rest of your week? What about the rest of your life? How are you there? God wants us to be balanced, and He wants us to please Him in all areas, not just one thing. You can impress your pastor. You can impress people like me. You can impress all kinds of, but we don't want to impress people. We want to impress God, and that's what really matters. And so there's a lot of hidden areas in our life that desperately need attention, but they go unnoticed because the truth is we don't really care. The Bible says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And quite honestly, a lot of times we're just interested in what we think and what people think. We're not really interested in what the Lord thinks. So I just want to encourage everyone here to consider, you know, are you making the sacrifice of Thanksgiving? What's it really going to cost you? You know, so many times all it costs is your time, and just thank God that I didn't have a blowout on my tire today. You know, thank God that my wife and kids haven't been sick in a while. Amen. Thank God. You know, some of you are getting older like me. Amen. Thank God I still have some hair left. Amen. It's not all gone. It's gonna be. I mean, it's falling out quick. But did you thank God while you had it? Amen. You know, sometimes you're in good health. You know, you don't have any, you know, you don't have arthritis and joint problems. So easy to take that for granted. Well, I think sometimes God will let you enjoy good health a little bit longer if you just glorified Him while you have it. I think sometimes He takes away the good things from us because we didn't show any appreciation while we had it. And I think sometimes He just needs to teach us a lesson. And sometimes it involves going through some things or taking away something good so that we'll be appreciative more, because that's really what matters. Do we appreciate what He's given us? Do we appreciate Him? Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I